Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
King of kings, Lord of lords. Is someone blessing him? One generation will declare your praise to another. The one who sits upon the circles. Eternity cannot fathom and comprehend your wisdom and your power and your grace. The earth is your throne. The heaven is your throne and the earth your footstool. Bless him. We are come to Mount Zion. Ask him to give you an encounter tonight. Father, give me an encounter even by your word. Let the scrolls be opened. Let the seals be broken. Cause me to see. Is someone praying? Give me total liberty tonight. For in Jesus' name we pray. For in Jesus' name we pray. Father, we ask tonight that you will speak to us. We have come with hearts opened. We have come with our spirits opened. We've come with our minds opened. We pray in the name of Jesus that this will be one service that will transform our lives indeed. Bring us liberty by your word. And let Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you very much. We've been on a teaching series titled, Let Them Have Dominion. The goal is to bring the saints into higher levels of authority, even through light, through understanding. Tonight is part two, but because of the nature of tonight's teaching, I promised us that we're going to be discussing on altars. Just help us under the anointing. So we'll be looking at the mystery of altars. It is the part two. You can put in bracket, let them have dominion. I decided that we'll give it this title so that those who would want to pick up this very teaching and listen to it, they would know where to find it, right? So it's still part two of the series, but we'll call it the mystery of altars. Genesis 35 from verse 1 to 7. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like menorah. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, 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 like a candle. Hallelujah. In this kingdom, we only rise and we reign through light. That means when God wants to help a man in this kingdom, he will shorten the distance between you and your access to light. One of the ways that God shows us mercy in this kingdom is to shorten the distance between you and the light needed to bring you from the ground and to enthrone you. He said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. Genesis 35, we're reading the first 7 verses. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Reading to 7 verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the day which I went. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their land, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. Verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Verse 6 now. So Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan. Pay attention, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. The last verse now, it says, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fell from the face of his brother. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. We're reading to 22. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. 22. He says, and while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. So we have, I decided to, there are so many things to teach, but we'll hopefully carry over some of those to part three. There will be a part three to this. So, but tonight, I want to really focus on the subject of altars. And there are three things we're going to be looking at. Number one, we want to understand what altars are. Number one, this is our first goal for this discussion. We want to understand what altars are from a biblical standpoint. Number two, we seek to understand through this teaching tonight the relationship between altars and the dominion of the saints. Is it true that there is a relationship between altars and the dominion of the saints? And then number three, we will be learning how to raise altars and how to pull down altars. If we are able to achieve these three, then we have done justice as far as this teaching is concerned tonight. One more time, to understand what altars are. Number two, to understand the relationship between altars and the dominion of the saints. And then number three, to know how to raise altars and also to learn how to pull down altars in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's begin our teaching. The word altar, A-L-T-A-R, the word altar is mentioned about 364 times in the Bible, using King James as a reference. The word altar is mentioned about 364 times in the Bible. And when you mention the word altar, the average believer is thinking of a shrine, is thinking of a herbalist, or is thinking of some superstitious thing. I hope you realize, and as you'll be learning shortly, that the entire concept of altars did not come from Satan. and was never used by Satan for a long time. Are we together? The idea of altars was God's own idea. Let's look at a few scriptures. The entire book of Genesis has the word altar mentioned about 10 times. And just to set the basis right, I'd like us to quickly run through some of these scriptures. Genesis 8:22, just go to 20. It says, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. He built an altar unto the Lord. Now, do you know, it will interest you to know that this was immediately after the flood. How do you come out of a flood and the very first thing you are doing is to build an altar? Not to celebrate, not to discuss, not to laugh at those who perished. He went straight and he built an altar. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says, And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Verse 8 now. And he removed from thence unto the mountain of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. Genesis 13, 3 and 4. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 13 and verse 18. Still the same chapter, verse 18 now. And Abraham removed his tent, it says, and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9. Please be patient as we lay this foundation. Genesis 22 and verse 9. This is Abraham and Isaac. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Genesis 26, 25. Genesis 26, 25. This is Isaac now. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants also dug a well. Genesis chapter 33 from verse 19 and 20. We're looking at from the law of first mention that every context of the altar, as you see, captured in Genesis, had nothing to do with any demonic interaction. 19. And he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Verse 20. And he erected there an altar and he called it El Elohi Israel. Genesis 35, we're reading verse 1, verse 3, and verse 7. Genesis 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there. God himself is asking a man now, make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you ran away from your brother Esau. Verse 3. The Bible says, he encouraged his people and said, Let us arise and go to Bethel and let us make an altar unto God. Verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because God appeared unto him and he fled from the face of his brother. This is the entire mention of the word altar in the book of Genesis. In fact, let me give you one more bonus scripture. Exodus chapter 17 from 14 and 15. Exodus, this is Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 5. In honor to that covenant, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. You would see that from the entire book of Genesis, you do not find any reference to altar being made or done with any demonic proposition. That every time you saw the idea of altar, it was number one by men who feared God, and it was unto God. In fact, in some of the references, it was God himself who told the men, make an altar there. And you would notice from the scriptures that we read that every time they erected altars, number one, they erected altars and called upon the name of the Lord from that point, or they erected altars to honor something spectacular God had done, either a covenant he gave them or a promise, some kind of promise, or before or after disaster, you would see that they erected altars. Now, the subject of altars has been addressed across boards. We've had people, as always, you know, approach it scripturally and intelligently, but we've had people also approach it in a way that is not entirely scriptural. And so when we mention the word altar, most believers, especially believers that are quite sound in the word, immediately frown at the concept, because the only idea of altars we have is the idea that has largely been communicated by the prophetic and the apostolic ministry. And I confess to you that not much justice has been done as far as bringing a sound biblical exegesis on the subject of altars. Many have used it as a ritual to delve into extra-biblical practices. Many have used it as a ritual, sadly, to manipulate people. But I have taught you here that just because a spiritual concept is not communicated properly or is used to manipulate people does not mean that concept is unscriptural. Here is the Bible speaking to you. The entire book of Genesis, we checked the word altar, and every time it was used, it was by men who feared God, and then it was unto God, the God of the Bible. What then is an altar? Please write. What is an altar? A few definitions. Number one, an altar is a place, a platform, or a system where the spirit realm makes contact with the physical realm on legal grounds. I'll take it again. An altar is a place, a platform, or a system where the spirit realm makes contact with the physical realm on legal grounds. That is the first definition of an altar. That it is a place, a platform, or a system where the spirit realm makes contact with the physical realm on legal grounds. Luke chapter 1, please, from verse 10 and 11, just to buttress on that definition. The Bible says the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of the incense. And then, verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Hallelujah. Zechariah the priest having that encounter, and an angel comes, but the angel comes and stands at the altar at the time of incense. So it is a place, it is a platform, or it is a system that allows interactions between the realm of the spirit and the physical realm on legal basis. It is called an altar. Number two, second definition, an altar is also a platform for authorization of laws and authorizations of spirits to function upon the earth. An altar is a platform for the authorization of laws, L-A-W-S, and the authorization of spirits to function upon the earth. So an altar is a platform that gives authorization to spiritual laws to function. An altar is a place, a platform that gives authorization for spirits to be able to function. The last definition, you have that down? An altar, finally, is a platform where covenants are activated and maintained. An altar is a platform where covenants are activated and where covenants are maintained. I gave you three definitions. Let me do a quick recap. That number one, an altar is a place, a platform, and a system where the spirit realm makes contact with the physical realm. Number two, an altar is a platform that authorizes spiritual laws and authorizes spirits to function. Remember, I have taught you that based on the law of territory, it is illegal for any spirit to function in the earth realm that does not have a body. Remember our teaching last week? We stated that this earth was made for men. Not just men, but for entities with physical bodies. That means if you do not have a physical body, you do not have a legitimate authorization to function on the earth. And then if you do not have a human body, dominion was not for you. Are we together? Dominion is only for spirits that are hosted in human bodies. That means even if you are a spirit that is in the body of a lower animal, you are authorized to function because of that body, but not authorized to walk in dominion. So the condition to be a man, therefore, is that number one, you must be a spirit. Number two, that spirit must be hosted in a human body. And then number three, that spirit must have a solical connection of the mind containing the will, emotions, and intellect. Any creature that does not have this combination in one place cannot be called man. Are we together? An altar. There are many people who have risen to notable levels of excellence, manifesting superhuman abilities and commanding strange levels of results that seem to dumbfound people, both in the church as believers and then people outside of the faith life. The level of invincibility that is shown in their exploits and their results seem to keep people at a loss. How are these people achieving this? Whether it is in politics and governance, whether it is in business and finance, whether it's in spirituality of all sorts, herbalists and all of that. Now, there are those who have lived in denial as to the reality of such a concept of altars. Then there are those who have admitted that there is such a concept, but they are clueless as to the dynamics of the workings of this altar. Many of us today, I submit to you, are victims of altars. Many of us today are more affected by altars than we can imagine. And the teaching tonight will open your eyes to see. I will be showing you why it is possible to pray and fast over certain issues and then nothing happens. Many people have tried binding and casting situations. Many people have tried quoting scriptures and speaking. Many people have done dry fast, all kinds of fast, fruit fast, and yet certain situations seem to stand and stare them at the face. This situation seemed to make Jesus look powerless, seemed to make the faith life uninteresting. But you see, the Bible says it is through knowledge that the just will be delivered. Not through assumptions, not through a good heart. It takes knowledge. I have studied this subject myself. And in studying it to prepare for this meeting, I was amazed at how many other things about altars that I did not even know myself. Hallelujah. Now write this down, please. Altars can be physical monuments. Altars can be institutions. Altars can be men. Altars can be non-material platforms. I'll take it again. Altars can be physical monuments, like we have in the Bible, and altars can be institutions. That means a whole institution can be an altar. Altars can be men. Human entities can be altars. And then altars can be non-material platforms. That means a platform that is spiritual in context. You cannot find any material expression to it, and yet it exists. Are we learning? I wrote down here, the patriarchs commanded superior levels of dominion on earth because they understood the mystery of altars. The patriarchs, those who had gone before us, commanded superior levels of dominion on earth because they understood the mystery of altars. And like I've told you, altars allow all kinds of spirits to find expression on earth and to find expression among men. Altars allow all kinds of spirits to find expression on earth and to find expression among men. Is someone learning already? Listen, let me tell you the truth. If God grants us grace and we understand this revelation and pray the prayers we are praying tonight, you will marvel and wonder at the levels of results that you begin to command in your Christian life. An individual can be a victim of negative altars. We're coming there. Don't write, just listen. A church can be a victim of negative altars. A nation can be a victim of altars. Individuals, businesses, and corporations can be victims of altars. Write this down, please. The major assignment of an altar, the major assignment of an altar is to give authorization. Please underline it if you are writing using a pen. The major assignment of an altar is to give authorization and continuity to any spiritual activity on earth, whether godly or demonic. I'll take it again. This is a major point I'm expressing now. Please don't forget this. The major assignment of an altar is to give authorization and to give continuity to any spiritual activity on earth, whether it is godly or it is demonic. That is the primary assignment of altars. The major assignment of an altar is to give authorization and continuity to any spiritual activity on earth, whether godly or demonic. Please look up. Do you understand the meaning of this point I just stated? That the assignment of an altar is, number one, to give authorization to a spiritual activity, but number two, to give continuity. That means anything that is recurrent and remains is powered by an altar. This immediately becomes the litmus test to check the presence of altars, good or bad. Are we together? Please don't forget this one. This will be the foundation of our discussion. The major assignment of an altar is to give authorization and continuity to any spiritual activity on earth, whether godly or demonic. Every time God made promises or made a covenant or said he was going to do something to the patriarchs and to their children, immediately they would build an altar so that even when they were not there, there would be a platform for the continuity of that statement. Is somebody learning now? Write this down, please. You can know the presence of an altar. You can know the presence of an altar in any life, any family, and any region. You can know the presence of an altar in any life, any family, and any region by the consistency of patterns and occurrences. You can know the presence of an altar in any life, any family, and any region by the consistency of patterns and occurrences, whether good or bad. This is powerful. The consistency of patterns, the consistency of occurrences, whether they are good or bad, is the scriptural litmus test for the presence of an altar. Wow. You can know the presence of an altar in any life, in any family, in any region. That means if certain good things keep happening to you, regardless the surrounding circumstances, there is an altar that is powering that is happening. If certain evils and certain patterns keep reoccurring, regardless the effort you are putting, it's because it is being powered by altars. Is someone listening? For example, salvation. Salvation is being powered by an altar. That is why any day and any time anyone confesses Jesus, you don't have to be there. An angel does not have to be there to supervise it. There is an altar already that supports that ordinance, that whosoever believes in the name of the Lord, that person shall be saved. And the altar that powers that statement is the very throne that God sits on. Are we together now? Yes. That means you don't need to travel from America to Nigeria to be saved, like to give your life to Jesus Christ. Regardless location, regardless time, regardless age, regardless gender, you can listen to a message of T.L. Osborne, even though the man has died, but the message is powered by an altar, because the truth he's communicating there is from the word of God. And if you believe that message, you can repent there and give your life to Jesus, and the altar that was connected to that statement makes that statement true in your life immediately. If salvation were not powered by an altar, it would be impossible for all men to be saved. Another example: the blessing of the Jewish nation. The blessing of the Jewish nation is powered by altars. That is why some of them, as individuals today, as a nation, when you go to Israel, many of them still practice Judaism, but in truth, many of them are not born again. They have not believed in the Lord God of heaven. Yet, that covenant, being powered by an altar, still insists that the Jewish nation will remain on top and above. Whether they are in Israel or they are in Africa, whether they know it or not, they just find out that you can stand with a Jew, and there seems to be an advantage that he himself cannot explain. The power of altars. Please pay attention, because we'll soon come to the one that concerns Africa. Are we together? Look up, please. Salvation is powered by an altar. That is why Jesus does not have to come physically and start running from room to room and say, look at me, I'm the Jesus you are talking about, are you interested? From one position and one location, the effect becomes the same everywhere his name is called. Now, an example of negative altars. Are you ready? The one we saw is an example of positive altars. An example of negative altars: all kinds of wrong addictions, all kinds of negative patterns are powered by altars. All kinds of wrong addictions, please write. All kinds of negative patterns are only there and remain because there are altars that power them. Let me list a few of them for you. Listen, if I am listing this and it ever affects you, just know that whether you admit it or not, it confirms the presence of an altar. Are you ready? Number one, mysterious diseases and infirmities. The presence of mysterious diseases and infirmities, whether as an individual or a family or a territory, powered by altars. Mysterious diseases and infirmities. Usually these diseases you see are also passed through the bloodline. Father had it, mother had it, brothers had it. Now there may be a medical explanation, and medicine is there as a symbol of God's mercy. But I am telling you, using higher spiritual intelligence, those sicknesses can only remain because of the presence of altars. Number two, all kinds of sexual perversions. Please write. All kinds of sexual and immoral perversions are powered by altars. It does not matter how sincere the victims are. That's not the issue. It's that there is an altar that powers it. All kinds of sexual perversions. That's why you can hear of stories of an adult, you know, doing something funny with a minor and a baby, and it does not make human sense. But this is about altars. I'm sorry to say it, but this is also what has generated into these various versions of perversions we have in our society. The victims do not even know what is drawing them. That's the point I'm trying to tell you. It's not just about your will alone. It's that there is a force that is operating on legal basis. Number three, depression and mental health issues. Most of this depression and mental health issues, now there are things that have to do with fatigue and all of that, but for most people, they do not know that most mental health issues need more than counseling. It is the presence of an altar. When Jesus saw madmen, listen, watch what the madman in Gadara, notice what the spirit did. He was always hiding in caves and hurting himself. Depression and mental health issues. Number four, witchcraft and idol worship. Here you go. Witchcraft and idol worship. You will be amazed at how many Christians today love God sincerely, but something keeps drawing them back to still revisit foundations of idolatry. It does not matter whether you're a man of God, it does not matter whether you're a businessman. There's something in you that still makes you comfortable. There's one small portrait in the village that was kept there. It was handed from great grandfather to grandfather, and they said if you speak to that portrait, it can bring results. You can serve God and give, but when the going gets tough, as you travel to the village, as you are passing, you just see that thing and something within you. Witchcraft and idol worship. Look up, please. There are you've seen us pray for these people during miracle services. There are many people, some of you looking at me right now, based on the ordinances of priesthood, you are supposed to be the one they hand over some of those things to. But you just said, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, I'm not interested. And the altar said, it's not about whether you are interested or not. Find out how I came into being first. And you just generally sweep it under the carpet. And he says, all right, you go. And you find out all kinds of things begin to happen. I'm not scaring you. There is victory at the end of this teaching. But you must know what is there. You don't gain victory by running away from the truth. You gain victory by knowing the truth. Stagnation and delays, altars. Stagnation and delays, altars. Believe me, altars. Near success syndrome. Have you seen that happen to people? I look for a word. There's no better word that captures it the way I want. If I bring all this English, you will not really get it. I need you to get it the way it is. Near success syndrome. That people see it but never possess it. There are people like that. You do an interview to the last point. Then you don't go again. You start a business and negotiate to the last point. Then you don't go again. You will always see the beginning of things, but never see the end of them. It's an altar. Believe me. You can look around and know people in your life who are excellent starters, but the power to continue and even finish anything is not there. They can start 30 businesses. They will never be able to keep one past 2 or 3 months. They can start different companies. They can even start ministries, and yet it does not work. Altars. Barrenness and short-lived success. Barrenness of all kinds, especially biological barrenness now. And short-lived success. Short-lived success. That means you enjoy every blessing, but it does not last. There are some of you here, the moment you see good things happen to you, you even start crying because you know as a track record that good things never remain. You buy a car, as soon as you are rejoicing, in 2 weeks, that car will now hit a convoy. Are we together? They will bring you out and say you should sit down on the ground first. And you find, what is wrong with me? As soon as you are preparing to go abroad, your visa just comes out. Next thing you will see police, they will say theft was happening somewhere, and they join you with all those to interrogate. For the next 2 months, your passport has been seized until you find out what is going on. I know you may be laughing, but pay attention. Short-lived success. Barrenness. How many people do you find? There's nothing medically wrong with them. There is no reason why they should not have children. Some of them may go as far as getting pregnant, and if you ask them and they are honest, they will tell you about their experiences. Somewhere within that pregnancy period, here come strangers, visitors in the night, either molesting them or doing some kind of thing, and that ends it. Shabranda katosi atabalada. There are many more expressions, but these ones are some of the major expressions. Can I be sincere with you? There are pastors who are victims of altars. There are families that are victims of altars. This thing does not necessarily have to do with being a wicked person or being kind. This is why God is granting us spiritual intelligence. God is my witness and I lie not. Years ago, I traveled somewhere and I met someone. I asked him, what does he do? And he says he works with a security company, PhD. God is my witness. I mean it. PhD. And out of frustration, he said he can't leave his family like this. He has to just find a way. I said, no, now, this cannot be God. Because in terms of value, that person has paid his price. Do you agree with me on that? So it's not about laziness. I know someone who got a huge contract. The person was so happy and was rejoicing. Just when they mobilized them a bit, he now secured a loan from the bank to add it and began the contract, and they revoked it. ABCD, we discovered your documents are not complete, and they left that person with a pile of debt with the bank. In the name of Jesus Christ, everything that is not of God and everything being powered by any altar, this is the night where we will scatter it once and for all. Please sit down. Hallelujah. So you know the presence of an altar in a life by the continuity of patterns and occurrences. Not to play with your mind, but great grandmother was raped, grandmother was raped, mother was raped. Different scenarios, the same effect. It is more than just coincidences. You are the only one who is calling it coincidences. Have you seen people who spend 10, 15 years abroad, even 20 years, and you go and find them in the village sitting down, and you are saying, sir, tell me the story. They will tell you, in 19 this and that, I was in America, I was a friend with the mayor, I was a friend with this one, I even got an award. They will take you back to enter into that clay house and show you all the things, and you are saying, from whence cometh this poverty? And he said, my dear son, you don't know. And the young man will be gyrating, just a fresh born again person, and say, it doesn't matter, I pity you, and return back 10 years later to that same place and wonder what is wrong. Listen, how many of you know about a man called Jabez in the Bible? Ladies, imagine if Jabez was your life partner. No. Don't insult the guy. He won at the end of it. I'm just saying, imagine. You would be surprised that after dancing and rejoicing, you start going down and not know why. Can I tell you this? These are some of the things that prophets detect by prophecy. And because many of them, respectfully speaking, are not sound in the word, they call the victims witches and wizards. They are just detecting the presence of altars, but it does not mean the individuals are necessarily bad. It is true. Association can help you partake of altars that is upon the lives of people too. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. When the realm of the spirit is against you, it will also be against anything that supports you. When God was against Jonah, remember Jonah chapter 1, Jonah was running away. He simply entered a boat. All the people who were the passengers there did not know that such and such a person. Now forget who was against him. The most important thing is that the realm of the spirit was against him. You would think he only jumped into the belly of the fish alone, but they had lost things because of one person. The same way Jesus was inside a boat and those who would have died were preserved because of his presence. Do you know the meaning of that? It means because of what you are learning tonight, everybody around you will now finally be a partaker of this blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ. The formula always remains that when he sends a word to Jacob, he intends that it lightens upon Israel. So for some of you, as you are listening right now, the Holy Ghost is telling you, this is what I've been trying to tell you. Are you seeing what kept mama down? Are you seeing what kept your dad? What kept your siblings? Now you are the reed that God is taking out of fire. It's important to pay attention for the sake of those who have gone ahead of you and for the sake of those who are coming. Please sit down. Go and read the history of America and find out that when that nation was about to be born, they erected an altar and called upon the name of the Lord officially and said, God, we are officially saying you are the God. That's why regardless what happens, that altar still speaks. Because based on the law of cause and effect, many nations should not be where they are economically. Yet there is an altar that seems to veto these limitations. Hallelujah. Now please look up. Many of our forefathers, great grandfathers in and territories, from the sincerity of their heart, many of them out of fear of being victims of wars, poverty, and whatever, many of them went to meet the devil because it was these deities that many of them knew. And so they met them on legal basis and had all kinds of fraternities and partnerships. and different altars were enacted. Today, the people who were part of that program are long gone. But altar does not know time. No. 10 years is only 10 years to you. 200 years is only 200 years to you. Read your Bible. Where Jacob had an encounter in chapter 28, that was where Abraham built an altar. Abraham built an altar there. Now his great grandson, his great grandson came there and slept in the night. Whether he slept or not, that altar was working every day. It just so happened that he now slept and found something that was already, there was a procession, angels ascending and descending. Is someone learning? Altars can affect individuals. Altars can affect families. The same way, authentic godly altars. Listen, there are many, many people who turn their homes into altars. They were not very born again, but they supported missionaries. They turned spaces in their houses to become a place for missionaries to come and stay during crusades. They did not know what they were doing. And some of those missionaries prayed there in their silence and said, "Oh God, I am praying that long after I am gone, let the great grandchildren of these people not know shame since they supported the gospel." You will find one rough boy one day roaming around, not being interested in Jesus, and the speakings from that altar will come and fish him. He will find his way to a crusade ground, and you'll be wondering what happened. Have you seen many people who are not serious with God, and yet it seems like God cannot leave them? They will run away, you will still find them. When you want to prophesy, they are the first you will bring out, and they are not serious. You yourself will be annoyed and say, "What is this thing that God is always looking for them?" How altars work. Let's hurry up. Now pay attention. I want to show you a mystery. I want to show you how altars work. May God give us understanding. Let me tell you, you see this, our fathers of faith, the level of results they are commanding, believe me, if you think it is just based on intellect, think again. You see this, our nation and Africa, the kind of trouble we are in, if you think it's just a political trouble, think again. Do you not see the consistency of the operations regardless what government comes? It is an altar, my dear people, more than just who is there or who is not there. Do you not see what happens to people during election? It's as if something just comes on people and nobody knows what he's doing until after everything, everybody starts complaining. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. How does altars work? How does an altar work? Please write this down. All satanic altars are powered by one major altar. All satanic altars are powered by one major altar. And I want to reveal it to you now. All satanic altars, systems of authorization, systems of communication, right? They are powered by one major access point or one major altar. Now, forgive me to make reference to my dear film, Lord of the Rings. Remember that, our movie? Now, remember, if you've not watched it, I don't know what to tell you, but you just follow. God will grant you understanding. Remember, I hope I understand the film really very well, but I know that there were many rings that were given to kings, and then there was one ring, is that true, that powers the remaining other rings. This is what I'm trying to teach you, that all other altars are at the mercy of this one altar. That means no matter what you do to all other altars, if this one altar still remains, you wasted your time. Now, this is the mistake that most people have, that they just keep rebuking things individually. Poverty, this one, that one. All satanic altars are powered by one major altar. Pay attention now. It's called the altar of sin and iniquity. Write it down, please. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. The altar of sin and iniquity. This is the altar that powers every other satanic altar. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. What was the cause of the problem? Evil in the sight of the Lord. The altar of sin and iniquity. And hold on, before you assume any self-righteousness, I want to tell you there are different levels of sin. There is your personal sin when it has to do with altars. There are territorial sins, and there are sins that come from bloodlines. So don't be too quick to just stand with self-righteousness and say, it does not concern me. The altar of sin and iniquity. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. I found this scripture and it blessed me so powerfully. Look up, please. Let me read it for you. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. I was about to come and heal them, but there was something that was discovered. When I would have healed Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. Romans chapter 5, from verse 12 to 14. Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Are we together now? Look how serious this issue of death is. And yet he's saying death had to wait for sin to enter, to authorize it to come in. He says, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're reading to 14, 13 now. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Now, this scripture blessed me so much. Nevertheless, he said death reigned. It didn't just come. It now came and even reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Do you know what this means? He's talking about us now. The effect of that original seed, it came and reigned even after them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who is to come. The altar of sin and iniquity. John chapter 9 from verse 1 and 2. John chapter 9. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now hear what the disciples said, verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Are you seeing the disciples? They went straight to the issue that they believed would have been the cause. Remember, these guys had been under the mentorship of Jesus. This man's condition, there must be something that has authorized Satan. He said, who sinned? This man or his parents? There was something they had known about the teaching of Jesus. Some versions will say, who sinned, him or his father? Because the word father means source. So is it him or his background? Both of them can create an effect in his life. Who sinned? I wrote down here, just for your quick learning, 3 levels of sin with respect to the activity of altars. 3 levels of sin. Number 1, personal sin. Personal sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Personal sin. 3 levels of sin. If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Period. The Bible states it very clearly, unmistakable there. Number two, territorial sin. Territorial sin. That means your personal sin, you can repent before God, but there is territorial sin. A territory can sin against God. An example, Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18 from verse 21. Sodom and Gomorrah was not just a personal sin. He appears to Abraham, we are reading to 22 to 23. I will go down and see whether they have done all together according to the cry. In fact, let's start from 20. Let's start from 20. It says, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin as a territory is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done together according to the cry of it, which is come to me. If not, I will know. Verse 22. It says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet with the Lord. One last verse. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous and the wicked? That means in that city there were righteous and wicked people, the righteous man being Lot. Yet as far as God was concerned, as a territory, they were sinners. Statistics show sadly that Nigeria is ranked one of the highest among corrupt nations. Are you corrupt? But it's a sad badge we have to wear, nationally speaking. Is that true? No matter how righteous you are, the whatever lash we have to receive by reason of carrying a Nigerian passport, we all corporately, no matter how individually righteous we are, you have to face that backlash until as a territory we are changed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Sodom and Gomorrah, a territory can sin. Another example, Jonah chapter 1, Nineveh. Nineveh, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, and then we'll go to chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, we're reading to verse 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against what? The city. Cry against the city, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. You know what happened to Jonah? Jonah ran away and all the story that happened in disobedience. And you know that Jonah was angry because he said, Lord, I know these people. You are right. If I talk to them now and they repent, that means a territory can repent of their sins. Are we together? Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Jonah came out of the belly of the fish. Verse 1 now. 3 verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, we're reading to verse 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. That means what I told you. Go and tell them there is authorization from darkness to destroy you based on that altar of sin and iniquity. And if you don't do anything about it, judgment is coming. What happened? Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. It says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Later on, we are going to be reading what happened. Because as soon as Jonah announced that, the Bible says they declared a fast plus the animals. Everything that was alive fasted to repent. If I stole money and I bought cassava with it and a goat eats it, territorially we are all sinners. So the animals fasted. It's in your Bible. Praise the Lord. So there's territorial sin. The last level of sin is sin based on foundations and bloodlines. Please write it down. Don't worry, don't be afraid of hearing all these words. I know you've had them and you've run away from them for a long time. You just trust me, I'm a good pilot. Sin based on foundations and bloodlines. Don't forget these three levels of sin: personal sin, territorial sin, and then sin that is based on foundation and bloodline. Psalms 11 and verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the... Not what can men do. Even the righteous will be affected. Exodus chapter 34 from verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Watch this now. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Next verse. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. It says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. It says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head and worshiped. Next verse. It says, Moses now, if I have found grace, we are reading to 14, in your sight, O Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity. Are you seeing Moses repenting and asking the Lord? He said, this one is not just for myself. I agree with what you have said. Verse 10. He says, okay, let's go to verse 9. Watch this. Moses is pleading now on behalf of his people. He says, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. How did God respond to that issue? Verse 10, please. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not seen done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Reading to 14, verse 11 now, quickly. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I will drive out before thee the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Take heed to yourself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Let it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Verse 13. But ye shall destroy their... Is that in your Bible? I want to do business. Now that you are begging me, now that you are pleading with me to have mercy, let me show you what you need to do. It's not just the issue of pleading. There are things that will keep speaking. You shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. Last verse. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous. Wow. I only used to read that he's a jealous God. And he's saying the Lord whose name. Not negative satanic jealousy. Let's not confuse what is written here. Jealousy just means that ability to want to see that which you love protected and preserved. That there is something about God when he sees that spiritual harlotry from God to God. And when sin and iniquity creates that altar, people bring judgment upon themselves. Personal sin, territorial sin. Please look up. Whether you like it or not, we are all victims of territorial sin. And if not all of us, especially Africa, bloodline, foundations. Do you believe that you will hear of a story of somebody who buried human beings every day and then you just shrug it off and say it does not matter? Do you know what the people said before they passed on? And you just believe, oh, no problem, everything is gone. No, there are rules of engagement. I've taught you this when we're dealing with deliverance, that even the sin of man, God did not cast it out of man. As powerful as God is, he didn't cast sin out of man. The lamb had to come and die, lived 33 years, died to purchase redemption for us. Is someone following? Now, just like demonic altars, all godly altars are powered by one major altar too. Have I lost you? All godly altars are powered by one major altar. That means if you see any platform that has been available to men to encounter God, to authorize activities of the realm of the spirit, there is one major altar that powers them all. The Bible calls it the throne of grace. The throne of grace alongside the blood of Jesus that is called the eternal covenant. That is the principal altar that powers everything good in the life of the believer. Please do not forget this. Every system of authorization, every system of exchange, every system that allows for interaction with the angelic, with the Holy Spirit, every system that commands spiritual virtues to come upon the saints is powered by this one altar, the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, please, from verse 4 to 16. If you're following, please say amen. Amen. 14, I meant to say. Hebrews 4, 14. 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He said, let us hold fast our profession. 15 now. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like us, yet without sin. 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto that throne of grace. He says we will obtain mercy and we will find grace to help in time of need. Someone shout hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, please, from verse 22 to 24. Please write these scriptures down. But ye are come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Next verse. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. 24 now. It says, and to Jesus, hallelujah, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood that he used. You see that now? The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. You read what Paul was teaching, that Jesus carried his own blood as the high priest and poured it upon that altar once and for all. If you ever see any believer in Christ walking consistently in favor, walking consistently in grace, walking consistently in victory, having divine encounters, those are different altars and platforms that make for that possibility. But the one altar that powers it all is the throne of grace. That throne you see God sitting on is an altar.
Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh.
My God, can you imagine that he sits on an altar? An altar that ensures that what he says if you believe it and you access it. And you see, every other person who has tried to put together an altar will eventually die. But there is he that liveth and abideth. The throne of grace is an altar. It is the throne of grace that powers that altar of prayer, the altar of favor. Every platform that allows you to receive of any spiritual blessing is powered by this one altar. The same way every demonic occurrence around families, territories, and nations is powered principally by the altar of sin and iniquity. Is someone learning already? Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 21. The same way that blood even made a way for Jesus Christ to return from the dead. It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. That means whatever needs to make you go forward, there is an altar that insists that the provision is there for you. This is very powerful. Every time you come to Jesus and hand over your life to him, more than just receiving of his life, you subscribe to the covenant of that altar. Are we together?
Yes.
So it does not matter what altars, it does not matter what demonic things, it does not matter whether my grandfather or great grandfather, whether my region worship idols, it does not matter what it is. One thing is that the moment you become connected to that one altar, that throne of grace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, how to raise and maintain altars.
You don't have to cry, 'cause I have paid the price. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. I plead the blood, the blood, the blood. I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Eternal saving blood. I don't have to cry, for you have paid the price.
One more time.
Hey, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. I plead the blood, the blood. Eternal saving blood. I don't have to cry, for you have paid.
Right. 1 minute recap on everything we have said. We said how that an altar is a system of authorization. An altar is a platform that allows the realm of the spirit to interact with the physical realm. And that an altar also allows for laws and spirits to find expression. And that an altar is what empowers and activates covenants and keeps them alive. Hallelujah. We did say how that the major assignment of altars is to give authorization and continuity to any spiritual activity on earth, whether it is godly or demonic. And we agreed that you can test the presence of altars in a life, a family, a business, a region, through the consistency of patterns and occurrences, whether they be negative or positive. We discuss how altars work, that all demonic altars are powered by one major system of authorization, the altar of sin and iniquity, and that all godly manifestations, you call them altars, systems, platforms that allow for the victory of the saints, they are empowered by this one altar called the throne of grace, alongside the blood of the eternal covenant. Now, how to raise and how to maintain altars. This also doubles to teach you how to tear down altars.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown.
You overcome.
Every high thing
must come down.
Every stronghold shall be broken.
You wear the victor's crown.
You overcome.
One more time.
Every high king
must come down.
Every stronghold
shall be broken.
You wear
the victor's crown.
You overcome.
Listen, some of you, by reason of this teaching and the prayers that will follow shortly, you will rewrite the narratives of your families. Believe me when I tell you this, that what they said has not been done. It is with gallantry and victory you will do it. That nobody in your family can rise, and you have seen it happen. Now with this knowledge, you will hold it like a key and clear those altars to give you room.
We raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright. We sing in honor of you.
Lord, we will raise your banner high. We shine your light so bright. We'll sing in honor of you.
Can I tell you the truth? Every man you see who has become a champion found a way to put those altars down. Everybody, pastor, listen, this may be the key you've been looking for. Why is it that ministry does not work? When the altars go down, the result will speak. You will see it and you will know that victory has come. Please pray in the spirit in 1 minute before I teach you how to raise altars. Shabrakatepa lakatoshka de lakatosiata. Manda brande ke paratoshka de lakapraske de balata. Those watching, make sure you are praying. Connect from your homes. Connect from any region. Behold, I show you a mystery. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. I'm excited in my spirit. Right, please. How to raise altars, how to tear down altars, how to maintain altars. Now, please write. Today, we do not raise altars by erecting physical structures or monuments. Today, for the new believer in Christ now, we do not raise altars by erecting physical structures and monuments necessarily. That means you don't have to go and stand somewhere and start carving things, putting blocks together to look for. No. Now, that does not mean you cannot dedicate a place, say for instance, to meet with God, like a prayer room or something. No, that's not what we're not talking. That is still scriptural. That you can find a place to spend with God. But that today we do not raise altars by erecting physical structures and monuments necessarily. To know how to erect structures, structures that work with power and grace, we have to learn from one of the great patriarchs, Elijah, 1 Kings 18. We're going to learn how to erect altars from the man Elijah. Let's start from verse 19 for sake of time. This was a point of decadence where the purposes of God had suffered a great deal under Jezebel and Ahab. And now this great prophet of God arose called Elijah the Tishbite. And he's about to judge the prophets in the encounter that we know to be the encounter of fire at Mount Carmel. Let's read. Pay attention as we learn the lesson. Now therefore, he said, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, and so on and so forth. Next verse. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and they gathered the prophets, and they came to Mount Carmel. Follow closely now. Elijah came and all the people and said, how long will ye hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Next verse. Elijah said unto the people, I even only, you see the mistake? This one is a mistake clearly he made as a prophet. He said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. 23. Let them therefore, now watch this. He's building an altar now. Look at the ingredients or the requirements. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire. And ye call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Both the prophets of Baal and Elijah knew that without altars, any other thing they were trying to do and call would be a total waste of time. Elijah said unto the prophets, he says, choose you for yourself and call upon the name of your God. Put no fire under. And they took the bullock, and then when they had put everything, they had dressed it, they now began to call, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon where? Look at the various skills they were doing, but it was on the altar, which was made. So they made an altar. 26 or 27 now. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. 28. And they cried aloud and caught themselves after their manner. Did you see that? That means there was a way they caught themselves as a last card. That when they try everything on that altar and it does not work, there is a skill they taught them that you can cut yourself. And they tried it. They lacerated themselves till blood gushed out upon them. 29. And it came to pass, when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. 30. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. Step number one, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Follow carefully. We're looking at the protocol to be able to set up an altar. Something happened to have given Baal that kind of authority. And Elijah now, wanting to see the power of God, the first thing he did was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Reading to 39. Let's hurry up. 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. So he did not just gather stones carelessly. The stones were according to the word of the Lord. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a stretch about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. 33. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water. And he poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. 34. And he said, do it a second time. And he did it a second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that is in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. How to raise an altar. Pay attention. Number one, the Bible says Elijah repaired the altar that was broken. Many people miss this step. In raising an altar, most people emphasize on other things and forget the place of repentance and brokenness. Please write it down. That is what it means to repair the altar of the Lord that has been broken. You want to raise an altar that can authorize spiritual activities again? It cannot be without repentance and brokenness. Please write it down. Can I tell you, whether it is as an individual, whether as a family, whether as a territory, you want to see the power of God come again? You want to see the realm of the spirit work in partnership with the purposes of God over the lives of the saints? It starts with genuine brokenness and repentance. Not confession, not declaration, not prophecy, not giving, repentance. Unfortunately and respectfully, so most times, even men of God, when we are teaching people these things, we do not teach them the place of repentance and brokenness. Is someone learning? This is very, very, very powerful. Genuine repentance and genuine brokenness. Remember what Moses did. As soon as the Lord told him, Moses, when he told him about the judgment coming upon the people, he began to plead for mercy, even for them. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Samuel 24. We'll read verse 1, then we'll jump to verse 10. The Bible says, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So he made a big mistake. Let's go to verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. Watch this now. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that which I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Say repentance. Say brokenness. We are reading. Please continue. 11 now. It says, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, 20, verse 12 now, go and say to David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto you. That means God is saying, I'm going to deal with you, but I'm going to give you three options. Verse 13. Number one, God came to David and told him all of this. Punishment number one, 7 years of famine shall come upon thee in the land. Or will thou flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So David, these are the three punishments you are going to receive. Watch this now. 14. David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. What a wise man. For his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Ah,
you're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God of everything, no one like you.
David is saying, I'd rather fall into the hands of my Creator. I know man. These people will kill me without mercy. Please keep that scripture. Verse 15. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Is that in your Bible? 70,000 men. 70,000 men. We are going to visit that later on when I talk about the other aspects. I am just showing you that if you want to rebuild the altar of the Lord, it must first start with genuine repentance. The Bible says, if my people, you know, we use this scripture all around, but we don't even understand what it means. Nigeria, let me tell you sincerely, if all our strength, and I'm saying this with all due respect and honor, if all our strength is on men to change this nation, let us think again. We have sinned against God as a nation. Even if you have not sinned as a person, we have to take responsibility as a nation to say, Lord, from men of God to politicians, to business people, to those in government, to all of us insulting everybody, we need to break down and say, Lord, it is only you that can show us mercy. And if you do not show us mercy, vain is the help of man. We need to rebuild the altar of the Lord. Our nation is not the first to be in turmoil. Go and read about Sodom and Gomorrah. They did not repent, and judgment came upon them and wiped them. How about Nineveh? As soon as Nineveh heard that, from the king to everyone and the animals, they came. No complaining, no self-righteousness. Lord, we agree. And Jonah even got angry. He said, Lord, I know you. This is why I refuse to go there. Because I know some of the people these guys killed. And I'm hoping I will not bring this message so that you will punish them for me. And now they have repented. Can I tell you the truth? For as long as the altar of sin and iniquity is empowered in this nation, in Africa, in our homes, everywhere, we will not be able to see the power and the grace and the glory of God. Genuine repentance. There are fathers who must take responsibility over their families and their children to end certain negative patterns. Father, I come from a family of idol worship. Now you have given me 4, 5, 6 children. I know what I suffered by reason of being there, but I stand on behalf of this territory and I take responsibility under God and I plead for mercy. Don't say it does not matter. For as long as there is no mercy, nothing stops the judgment of God from landing on anybody and anything. Are we together? Hallelujah. Number two, the Bible says he set up 12 stones. Set up 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. That talks of covenant. And he says he did that according to the word God gave him. So you can put in other words, the second ingredient that was needed to rebuild that altar is the word of God. The promises of God. What did he say? Upon what guarantee are you standing? The word of God. The promises of God. Number one, brokenness and repentance. Number two, the word of God. Are you ready for number three? There are many other ingredients that were there, but that which is an interest to us, number three, is sacrifice. And there are three levels of sacrifice. Sacrifice. So there are three very important things, components, that were present upon that altar. There are others like water and wood that talks about service and all of that, but I'm not into all those ones now. My concern is repentance and brokenness. Number two, to return back to the place of value and honor to the word of God. And then number three, to engage the power of sacrifice. And I said there are three levels. Watch this now. The first sacrifice that must be put upon the altar is you. Romans 12 and verse 1. Until you become that living sacrifice, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Is that in your Bible? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Where do you present it? On that altar. Jesus was teaching and he says, when you are going to give your offering and you find out you've offended your brother, he says, leave it at the altar. So that's where you were taking it to. You must become that sacrifice yourself. Everything about you and everything about your life. Please look up. I'm showing you how to rebuild altars, and it also doubles as how to tear down altars. If our fathers worship idols, if our grandfathers, if our territories worship idols, it's not enough to just return to the Lord territorially. You as a person must come and say, I make a conscious decision. My life and everything belongs to you. The second sacrifice that God demands from us in building altars is our praise and our worship. Our praise and our worship. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and 15. It says, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You want to rebuild an altar that restores all things? The sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of worship. No wonder Paul and Silas were wise people. They didn't sing because they were musicians. It was a mystery. They didn't care who was listening to them. They didn't care about their vocal competence. All they were doing was to sing. And they created a portal from that prison that touched the heavens. And God came down in response. Do you not notice that this was a formula that was given the nation of Israel? Every time they were fighting a battle and it looked like defeat was imminent, they would keep their swords and begin to sing. You are good and your mercies endure forever. Is it in your Bible? They keep singing it and chanting it, and you would see God move like a mighty warrior and begin to bring confusion in the camp of the enemy. Your worship. The third sacrifice is your prayers. This is a major sacrifice that must always be on your altar. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. The ministry of prayer, like sacrifice upon the altar. It says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall not go out. Prayer. 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 When you see those who practice divination and wizardry and all of that, they are always there making enchantments and making sure that these altars are serviced by sacrifices of prayers to all kinds of deities. The sacrifice of yourself, your life, the sacrifice of your worship and praise, the sacrifice of prayers, and then the sacrifice of a seed giving. And I'm going to teach you how to use this, because many people do not know. Many people just drop money, and I submit to you that sometimes even we men of God, maybe because it's money, just because you are bringing money and dropping it does not mean that you are dropping a seed and a sacrifice. I don't care how much. There is a consciousness and there is an understanding that must support what you are doing, because seeds have different voices in the realm of the spirit. Are we together? To rebuild an altar, number one, that altar must be repaired. Talks of repentance and brokenness. Number two, restoration of the word of the Lord, the promises of God. You must get back to live by the word of God, not to live by the ordinances of tradition, not to live over some kind of demonic template. Number three, the sacrifice of yourself, the sacrifice of your worship, the sacrifice of your prayers, the sacrifice of your seed. And then the final key to raising an altar is prophetic decrees and blessings. Prophetic decrees and blessings. Now we're going to finish up. Give us 1 Kings 18:33, then we'll finish up 2 Samuel. We're about to pray now. Something is going to happen in this place now. 1 Kings 18:33. He said, put the wood in order and then cut the bullock into pieces on the wood and fill the barrels with water and pour it upon the burnt offering. His sacrifice was in place first, before he called upon the God of heaven. This is the same thing that happened when Solomon was dedicating the temple also. There was an altar, there was already sacrifice upon it. And then he began to pray and call upon the God of heaven and bless the people. And the cloud of his presence came and filled that place. 2 Samuel 24. Let's continue from where we stopped. I think it was from verse 15. Let's finish it now. This is David. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning even to the time appointed, and there died the people from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was at the threshing place of Arauna, the Jebusite. Watch this carefully now. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But this sheep, what have they done? What a good leader. Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. In other words, spare these innocent people. Because of my wrong, I have given access and 70,000 people have died. 18. And prophet Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar. I want to show you a mystery right now. Something has authorized Satan to destroy this. And even though you have confessed and repented, that is not enough. He said, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. 19. So David did according to the saying of God and went up as the Lord commanded. We're reading to 25. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming towards him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face to the ground. Next verse. And Arauna said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed, that the curse may be stayed, that the patterns may be stayed, that the reoccurrences may be stayed from the people. 22. And Arauna said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here is even oxen for you, and here are threshing instruments. You know what the guy said? I have come to you, dear king. I respect you. I mean, it's an honor for you to come. You don't need to do anything. Take the threshing floor, take a bullock, and even take all the instruments. 23. All these things did Arauna as the king give unto the king. And Arauna said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. 24. Watch this. And the king said unto Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. 25. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings of peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Please look up. Let me tell you the truth. You can live on earth and fail woefully, give your life to Christ, and in the sweet by and by go to heaven. But as far as dominion and authority upon the earth is concerned, you will never be able to excel without an altar. Genesis chapter 8. Let me show you something you may have read but not understood. Verse 20. We're about to pray. 8:20. Noah built an altar. Please look up. As soon as Noah came out, there was no place of Noah rejoicing and saying, ah, thank God I survived the flood. As soon as he came out, the first thing he did was to build an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast, watch this, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord made a proclamation by reason of that. I will not again curse the ground for man's sake, for the imagination of his heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything that is living as I have done. Now, look up, please. He said, verse 22, while the earth remains. Do you know what he's saying? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease to them that understand the altar. The basis for his speaking was over the man who had raised an altar. And he's teaching here that all of these prophetic manifestations revolve around the understanding of an altar. The power to restrain evil is captured in the understanding of this system of altars. This is very, very powerful. Many preachers do not know this. And the only thing you just do is to get up and say, God called me, God bless you. You start a church and find out nothing is happening. Many business people, especially those who come from families where nothing is happening. Let me tell you the truth. Whatever you see that is not working right in your life, your family, your territory, the first thing is not to go around understanding the names of demons and all of that. That may not be necessary. The most important thing is for you to know that there is a principal altar that has powered all the causes, all of these infirmities, all of these demonic things, and it is called the altar of sin and iniquity. Are we together? Your first assignment in tearing down altars is to rebuild an altar to the Lord over that family. You don't do it by a physical monument. It is an understanding and a spiritual approach. I told you that an altar can also be a non-material platform. Lord, I stand this day, and in the name of Jesus Christ, on this day, I am standing to repent on behalf of my family, on behalf of all of this. Do you know that was what Job kept doing for his children? Read your Bible. That was why Satan came, even though they were wayward children. He offered sacrifices and built an altar for them. And nothing could touch them except when God gave Satan permission. Satan himself returned and said, "When I went, I met a man fortified by the understanding of an altar, and I could not do anything." I have seen ordinary people rise to supernatural levels and dimensions because they understood the power of altars. Preachers, individuals. There are families that have decided, for instance, to set up an altar of prayer, to say, "Lord, we agree as a family that we are going to pray." And by reason of that, they now authorize supernatural encounters that keep coming. There are people who have set up all kinds of prophetic altars. But listen to me, the protocol one more time: to tear down any altar, including the altar that has seemed to destroy everything around your family and lineage. Believe me when I tell you, just assuming it is gone because you are born again. Personal salvation is not the same as territorial salvation. There are rules of engagement. Are we together? There must be genuine repentance. I'm saying that because that is what we are going to do this night now. Genuine repentance for yourself and for everybody who is around your covering. And then when that happens, the next thing is a committal to live by the word of God. To live by the word of God, not to live by superstition, not to run from church and then run to another herbalist and say, "What is this?" And committal to live by the word of God. And then number three, the sacrifice of your own life, that you will live your life for his purposes. The sacrifice of your praise and your worship. And then the sacrifice of a seed. Let me talk for a minute about this seed. Don't be uncomfortable because I'm talking about it. Let me tell you the truth. There have been all kinds of givings in the body of Christ, and I salute and I respect it. I want to tell you why many people's giving has not produced any result. Sincerely, and I say this with due honor to the body of Christ. Number one, most givings have simply been out of sympathy and weeping out emotions. So most of the givings have come like donations, and there is a place for that. Are we together now? Yes. There are all kinds of seeds in the realm of the spirit, and you can use your sacrifice to perfect the process of erecting an altar that stands against anything that comes to destroy you. So, Apostle, we're experiencing untimely death in our family every year and every month and every 2 years. Someone must seem to die. Let me assure you, if all you do is just get up and carry a seed and come and drop, nothing will change. I will not lie to you. It's not all about money. It's about knowing that there is a principal altar that powers that, the altar of sin and iniquity. So it starts with repentance. Whatever has given Satan legal grounds to plague this family, we come by the blood of the Lamb, by that blood of the eternal covenant, and we plead mercy. Now that is step one. And then to choose that we will walk in the ways of the Lord. And then when you do that, through your time of prayer, Now your seed can walk. Let me tell you how to make your seed bruise the head of the serpent. It's not just about money or something that costs you. There is a revelation, please look up, that is behind what you do. That means you are making a sacrifice. Number one, as proof that you love God. Number two, as proof that you trust God. Number three, as a spiritual ordinance mandated by the wisdom of God. Whether you go to Satan or you go to God, there are major problems in your life. Look at me, Nigeria. Look at me, dear people. I can tell you this. Many unbelievers understand this mystery. That is why, as you are shouting and saying, God forbid, this man can never become my boss in the office, he's looking at you with pity, because they know where that authorization comes from. They know that it does not come from the office. And they go and consult mediums, and the mediums will tell them, pledge that when you get there, you will come back, you will serve the purposes of whatever. And out of desperation, yes, pledge that your children will serve me. Yes, sir. Pledge that your children, just give me that office. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll make incisions as a testament. Let blood be on the altar. Let the God see it. Okay, if you like, tear my whole body. Let me just get that thing. And they don't know what they are doing. Afterwards, depending on what they are asking for, they can say, there is one person in your family you are going to have to donate. Either your wife or your child or your children or somebody. Do you really need this office? Yes, sir. Are you willing to do it? Yes, sir. And you find out that after that sacrifice, no matter what else is done, inevitably, in a way you cannot explain, that which they desire comes. When God wanted to redeem man, he would have easily sent Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel is very faithful. He would have died and nothing would have happened. Or he would have sent Michael. Or he would have even sent 2/3 of the angels to come and die. At least 2/3 of the angels would be more than one angel died per person. He would have sent one angel to die per person. And he looked and there was that meeting. And he himself, knowing the laws he has put, he now said it has to be God that dies. And he took his only son. God carried his only son. What else in heaven is more expensive than Jesus? Mention one thing you know. Is it the throne? Is it the angels put together? In the beginning was the Word. And he literally carried the Word and sent him down to the earth. When Jesus was crying, Eloi, Eloi, lama ta, do you know why no power can fight salvation? Find out the sacrifice that went to make it happen. The only way salvation can be destroyed, if there is a higher and greater sacrifice, greater than Jesus, that is sacrificed. Are we together? You get what I'm saying now? Yeah. He carried his most precious and hung it upon that cross and stamped redemption eternally for men. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the truth. When I saw certain things in my own life and I saw certain things across our territories, almost every territory, if we are to be sincere, There is a backlog of territorial limitations. Some of them, the things that I have mentioned, and it would take spiritual understanding to make up your mind and deal with these things once and for all. You can shout amen, you can fast, you can pray. Those are just portions and pieces of the truth. Until this is engaged with understanding, I have done this for my life. I have done this for this ministry. You cannot imagine the sacrifice that has gone in to see Jesus glorified in this ministry as you see it. Nothing is just happening by mistake. No, sir. If you ever think it's by mistake, think again. Right now, that is the political season, shrines all over this nation are full of men and women who are clamoring for. They know that it's not just to stand and vote. Believers, the mystery of the altar is the mystery of dominion. It cannot be outside of the altar. The Lord God of heaven sits upon that altar that guarantees our salvation. There are many of you right now, you came here tonight trusting God to end cycles of infirmities, cycles and yokes. Can I tell you, if you are the one who goes through this for your family so that no one else goes through it, happy are you and God bless you for it. I made up my mind as a person that, listen, no matter what it would take, let me be that bridge between the old and the new. Someone is in this place tonight and you came to church to make that decision. I know some of you know what you suffered by reason of the background. Some of you now, as it is, even though you are Christians, you are still going through it. The worst you can do is to hand over this disaster to your children. It is time to stand as a priest that you are and take advantage of the resources of wisdom, including the understanding of the altar, and to obtain grace to establish victory. Otherwise, don't say my father was sick as soon as he was 50 years. They just diagnosed him with something and he said it happened to his father too. Don't let the devil deceive you and say I am just 30 years. 30 is 50 minus 15. It means you are also coming. That everything that does not work and it continues and remains so, they are powered by altars. It's time to deal with it. Is someone ready tonight? The first thing we are going to do right now, please listen, no distraction. Please don't allow the devil distract you. We are working with time. In the next 2 or 3 minutes, you are going to cry. We are going to do a corporate prayer of repentance before God. Don't be too proud, oh. You are going to cry before the God of it. You don't have to lie down or whatever. Whatever position is comfortable. Not as an act of condemnation. Genuinely before the God of heaven. And say, Lord, I am standing in repentance. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Some of you need to pray on behalf of your children, on behalf of your husband, on behalf of your wife. Lord, I take the responsibility of priesthood. There are men of God who need to stand on behalf of their congregations. There are business CEOs that need to stand on behalf of their corporations. Lord, we plead mercy over every altar of sin and iniquity that is empowering every other negative altar. Death, delays, retrogression, stagnation. Please pray. God is giving you a chance. Shabalakatos. Those following from your homes, following by way of television or internet, we're in a moment of deep brokenness and repentance. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Shalegede brandegede balasha. Mercy, oh God. Mercy, oh God. Give me Psalm 51. While you are praying, I'm going to be reading for you Psalm 51. Please give us Psalm 51 while we pray. Have mercy on me, oh God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Verse 2, please hurry up. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Verse 4. That thou mightest be justified. Please give us verse 4. We're not done. when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and behold me with a, and uphold me with a free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall speak forth your praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou shalt not despise. Next verse. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Someone is praying, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Lift your voice in 1 minute. You are praying for yourself. Pray for your organization. Lord, I found out the reason behind these consistent plagues, consistent pain, consistent delay, consistent retrogression, consistent failure, consistent sickness. Mercy, in the name of Jesus, mercy. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We obtain mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. Mercy for Nigeria. Mercy for our regions. Mercy for Koinonia. Mercy for every family here. Mercy for every business. Mercy for every captain of industry. Every politician, every head of parliament, every professional. Mercy for our children. Mercy for those who have gone ahead of us. In the name of Jesus. Prayer point number 2. As for me and my house, Lord, I agree with you this day that I will serve the Lord. No other name, no other God, no other force, no other influence. Someone is praying. Please pray. Whether you come from Lagos, whether you come from Plateau State, from Kaduna State, from Maiduguri, from Enugu, Anambra, Cross River, Port Harcourt, it does not matter whether you are from the FCT. Lord, as for me and my house, I dissociate myself from the ordinances of idols. Someone is praying. I dissociate myself from the worship of deities, fraternities with gods that are not the true God. I declare that as for me and my family, I worship the one true God, Jesus, the Son of the living God. It doesn't matter what shrine you went to. It doesn't matter what the fathers did. Lord, we pray as a nation. Lord, we pray as a region. As for me and my house, as for me and this ministry, someone pray. As for me and my children, pray. As for me and my wife, as for me and my husband, as for me and my corporation, outside, make sure you are praying all the overflows. As for me and my house, we will live for Jesus, we will serve the Lord. Pastors, pray. As for me and the vision God has given me, no consulting mediums, no consulting powers, no consulting shrines. It is Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus only, Jesus ever, as the source of power, as the source of revelation, as the source of illumination. No bribery, no corruption. Pastors, pray. No manipulating members. Sincerity of truth. Loving them and serving them. In the name of Jesus. Now, don't be tired. We are still praying. Right now, on legal basis, you are going to pray and declare that every altar that hitherto has had any legal grounds on your life, the blood is against it. He said, we overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. Someone open your mouth and begin to decree. In the name of Jesus, the blood of the everlasting covenant is against altars of untimely death. Pray. You know what alters by the patterns in your life. Call it by name and curse it by the God of heaven. Operations of poverty, operations of failure at the edge of breakthrough, visitations of wicked spirits molesting you, that everything you do seems to fail. Pray.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength.
Pray. Untimely death, you come to an end over my life. Failure, you come to an end over my life. Disfavor, shame and reproach, the blood is against you. Whoever and whatever gave you legal access, I come by the backing of the throne of grace. I come by the backing of the throne of grace. I come by the backing of the throne of grace. Someone pray. A new order is imagined from you tonight. Your children will thank you. Your children's children will thank you. They will say, at what point did this transformation start? And you will tell them, when I found the revelation of the mystery of altars. Someone prophesy. My father may have died early. My mother may have died early, but I will not die early. I will not die untimely death. In the name of Jesus, I am crushing that altar by the power of the blood of Jesus. Pray. Graduates from the families, no job, no lifting. Pray. People don't get married, or they get married and the homes don't stay. Barrenness, repetitive patterns, failures in business. Someone pray. Shabeketekata, embreketoskotopeketebata. The operation of these altars come to an end. From Lagos to Abuja to Maiduguri to Kaduna State to Rivers to Cross River to Kogi State. I don't care how long they have lasted. Lord, we pray. Someone pray. Elana malakata bradegete belaketosh shakradegete bereketos kadelakata embradegete braskadelakata brodegete egrefetegete baroskadelakata embrapakato brakete balakata prehetesh. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, someone pray. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We are bringing a new order. Pray for your family. Enough is enough. Enough is enough of children becoming useless. Enough is enough of people never finishing what they start. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please listen to me. In the name of Jesus. When I started ministry and I discovered that not many people from my region had the privilege to rise to a global level and to stay and to last sustainably in ministry, I said minus me. But I knew that it will not just be empty talk. You see, let me tell you something about altars. They don't care whether you are a pastor. They don't care whether you are whatever. Once there is no compliance, you can stand and be making a lot of noise and yet nothing will happen. I made up my mind that I will serve the purposes of God at a global level, and that anything that pegs people from my region and keeps them at a particular level, that it will be my lifetime I will rewrite that narrative. You are going to pray one more prayer before I speak over it. Please don't be tired. You came here tonight to deal with these things once and for all. You are going to pray. My destiny and my glory, I connect you to the throne of grace. Go ahead and pray. My destiny and my glory, you are connected to that altar called the throne of grace. My destiny and my glory, you are not connected to ancestry. My destiny and my glory, you are not connected to wizardry and human manipulation. My destiny and my glory, you are not connected to earthly and platforms. You are connected to the throne of grace. Someone pray. My destiny, my glory. Pray for your ministry, my business. your influence, the workings of the Spirit in your life, connected to the throne of grace, backed up by the King of Kings himself, backed up by the blood of the eternal covenant. The meaning of that is no enchantment and no divination, no enchantment, no activities of wizardry, necromancy. The wasters of destiny, they have no access to your life again. Connected to the altar. Please pray. You are not wasting your time. Connect your business. By faith in the Son of the Living God. Not as a blind ritual. No. Let it be known in the realm of the Spirit that from this day forward, I am no longer connected to ancestry. Someone is praying. Let it be known in the realm of the Spirit that from this day forward, I am not connected to the limitations of bloodline. Let it be known in the realm of the Spirit that from this day forward, connected to the throne of grace. Let it be known to principalities and powers. Let it be known to thrones and dominions that there is a switch of loyalty. Let it be known to principalities and powers that there is a switch of loyalty from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hear me, my dear people. Everyone is destined by Christ to rise. There is nobody who is destined to remain down. Please place your right hand on your head prophetically. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against me round about. I lay me down and I slept. I wait for the Lord sustains me. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we are still praying. Please don't be distracted. I stand by the privilege of the apostolic and the prophetic. Any system of authorization, whether as a result of personal sin, whether as a result of territorial sin, all foundations and bloodline, by the mercy of God, I decree and declare their legal hold over you is hereby broken. Hereby broken. Therefore, every negative pattern, every frequent occurrence that is inconsistent with that which the word of God says should be, in the name that is above all names, I bring to end those patterns now. I bring to end those patterns now. Patterns of untimely death, patterns of perversions, patterns of delay, patterns of limitation, be broken now. Patterns of poverty and begging and hardship, be broken now. Patterns of mediocrity and inferiority, be broken in the name of Jesus. hear me. Where you have not risen to before, by reason of these limitations, I stand by the power of the Holy Ghost. Rise to that level. Rise to that level. In career, rise to that level. Hear me. If there is anyone here whose destiny is not opened and is not speaking, you love God, you are sincere, but your life is grounded, and that's what you have seen happen to other people, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, like a little flower opens up and begins to bud, I command your destiny to open up. Open up financially. Open up. Hallelujah. Now, in the name of Jesus, if there is any priesthood servicing any altar against you, whether by reason of where you come from, that means there are human beings alive who continue to fuel those altars. Manikesh Shabarata, Ebrekatos Kadia, Makabraskata, Latosheneketa, Embrekete Barata. In the name of Jesus, I bring to an end the reign of such priesthoods. Their enchantments will no longer work, like the prophets of Baal. They will not receive any answers again. We shut the realm of the spirit against them. We shut the power of the sun against them. We shut the power of the wind against them. We shut the power of the earth against them. In the name of Jesus. Every medium of expression ceases to work for them. If there is anyone here having any infirmity in your body that has defied medical attention, and you know that this is a direct result of witchcraft, right now in the name of Jesus, that sickness leaves your body now. Help them, please. That sickness leaves your body now. High blood pressure, diabetes, hepatitis, in Aparish Kotebata, it leaves your body now. Lumps and growths in your body. Demonic things that have defied. Some of you have had surgeries again and again, and it will not go. I curse it now in the name of Jesus. Hear me. Every experience of seeing dead people come to harass you, my Bible says that the living and the dead have nothing in common. There are times you may have encounters with the spirits of just men made perfect, but that does not bring oppression. In the name of Jesus, the system that authorizes familiar spirits to use the faces of men and oppress you and plant all kinds of things in your body and your destiny, it is broken now. It is broken now. Please put down your hand. Father, I stand by the privilege of priesthood, first over our global family, and then the body of Christ by the privilege of the election of grace. Please help those under the anointing. I have declared your word, and Lord, I know that this works. Based on the integrity of your word, Lord, we have cried in repentance before you, individually, territorially, and even as touching bloodlines and foundations. We have committed ourselves to serve only you, the one true God. Father, your people and all of us together are about to lay down sacrifices some in cash, some in kind, in whatever means. Lord, you are not a scammer. You are not a fraudster. We men of God may have made merchandise out of these principles and we repent for it. But Lord, we cry in the name of Jesus, and I pray by the privilege of spiritual leadership and priesthood, that everyone under the sound of my voice, may fire fall upon your sacrifice. May fire fall upon your sacrifice. May fire fall upon your sacrifice. Let every demonic spirit witness your sacrifice and witness the fire that falls upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, for everything you are connecting to this sacrifice, mani shalas kebarato ziyata, whether as individuals, as a couple, as a business, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God, I decree and declare, may the heavens be open over that issue. In the name of Jesus, everything that has refused to walk in your life, I command it to begin to walk now. By reason of your sacrifice, I make this prophetic declaration. All doors open. All doors open. All doors open. I stand upon the grace of our fathers in this nation, as I have received by grace and by the privilege of the mercy of God. I stand upon their personal altars with God, and we stand in agreement under that grace. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, judgment upon every wickedness. Judgment upon everything connected to ancestry by your sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Anyone here appointed to death, I decree and declare, when death comes, let it meet your sacrifice. When limitation comes, let it meet your sacrifice. When failure comes, let it meet your sacrifice. It will never be that you gave and went down. Please hear me. I decree and declare, for every one child who has gone wayward, who is giving any parent headache or tears, by reason of your sacrifice, may the angel of the Lord fish them back to the cross. From America to Europe to Nigeria, everyone who is lost, every spouse who is not saved, every child who is not saved, every woman, everyone connected to any family that is yet to encounter Jesus, they will not die till they have found Jesus. Hallelujah. Now please hear me. If there is anything that you may have done personally with your own life that has created an accusation in the realm of the spirit that the devil might want to use against you and your children's children, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and even this sacrifice, let it be blotted out now. Let it be blotted out now. Let it be blotted out now. Finally, I pray for you. You have taken from your resources, you have taken from whatever to give unto God. I decree and declare, the storehouses are portioned for you that have been blocked by all kinds of demonic hindrances. I declare them open like a flood now. Open like a flood now. May strangers arise and come to you. You will not beg, you will not borrow. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. For some of you, by reason of this program tonight, you will start having very strange angelic encounters. By reason of this meeting tonight, there is a restoration of dreams, a restoration of visions, a restoration of encounters. Please hear me. If there is any physical planting in any house, any village, whatever was taken, whether your name was taken to any shrine or whatever, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that devil catches fire now. Whether you are asleep, whether you are awake, anybody that tries to build any altar to fight you, I stand prophetically, they will go down instantly. And anybody who has vowed that for as long as I am alive, this family will not rise, this family will not know peace, in the name of Jesus, I declare the righteous judge, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, he will silence such devils in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In 1 minute, I'd like you to wave your hands and begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb that was slain.
Hallelujah. Please hear me. From tonight, I want you to carry a mentality, not just the mentality of your earthly origin. When you hear them say there are powers that are going to fight and destroy people, remember. Don't just remember Koinonia. Remember the throne of grace. That it is the altar that defends you. When someone looks at you and crosses himself and stamps the ground, you don't need to waste your time. He's not fighting you. He's fighting the throne. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let me make an altar call. It's called an altar call. Listen very carefully. There are people here, you have heard me preach, you have heard the word of God, and God right now is asking you, please look up, let me have your attention, let's minimize movement. There are people who are saying, Apostle, I came here and I need to be connected to that altar, the throne of grace. The Bible already tells you how to come. It says you should come boldly before the throne of grace that you will obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Two categories in one. There are those who are saying, this is my first time. I want to come to Jesus and permanently close that door. There are those who are saying, I need restoration in my spiritual life. I'm going to count 1 to 5 very quickly for the sake of time. I want you to boldly come and stand here. God bless you for coming already. God bless you for coming. 1. Koinonia, celebrate them as they come.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb.
Keep coming.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for the courage to come to Jesus Christ. I'd like you to please lift your right hand. If you are joining them, please join them very quickly. All the overflows outside and then those who are connecting online. Yes, your chance to make Jesus Lord of your life genuinely, to be connected to that throne of grace, the greatest altar. Lift your right hand, please, high above your head. Say this loud and clear. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I repent of my sins and I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Savior. be my Lord and be my King. From tonight, I declare that the power of sin, of Satan, of hell, and of the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I am a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I stretch my hands towards these our precious people. They have come to that altar, that throne of grace, to obtain grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help. I decree and declare, by the integrity of God's word and according to your confessions, I declare your sins forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight until forever, you are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Satan has no legal access over your life. You go from glory to glory and from grace to grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please, I'd like you to follow the counselors. They are waving the placard. They will just receive you, have a moment with you, and you'll be back to your seat. Koinonia, let's celebrate them very quickly. Hallelujah. Please, let me encourage you. Do me a favor by giving your loved ones or anybody you love that you know needs to hear this teaching. Please, sow it as a seed to someone's life. Is free. You can go to Koinonia Global and get it, but please make sure that someone, perhaps there are people who may not agree with the things there, don't worry, you just give someone and let them be blessed for the sake of the purposes of God. You can give your children, you can give your spouse, and the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Name. Have you been blessed tonight? Please rise up on your feet. Father, thank you. We honor you and we bless you for your grace. We decree and declare that the results from this that you have shown us today will begin to speak instantly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will encounter your power and your grace in unprecedented dimensions. I declare that this week beginning for you is blessed. You will know that many altars have come to an end permanently by the strange and fearful results that will begin to speak in your life. My God bless you. In the name of Jesus, go from glory to glory and grace to grace. In Jesus' name I pray. After the grace, do well to hug and greet one another on your way out. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia Live,
go to mixella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate you.